This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Heard there was a Michael Ward that's gilded and it's Jake's once more, and you don't really care for friendship, do ya? My name's Amir and he's the pinch. His crab claws just won't give an inch. The second place is slippery. I am Shmuel. Seven
more verses.
My grades were strong, but you needed proof. Thursday tests are just a goof. The abuse is never ending from my co-host. He claims his name is Liquid Nice. Has everything with a side of rice. Not even near a Starbucks. I am Shmuel. 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 I am Shmuel.
Can he do it?
I am Shmuel.
Can he hold his breath the entire time? Is he gonna hit it? Not as long as Jeff Buckley, but still pretty good.
That was really good. Especially if he was playing guitar.
Hey. Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Did you get the hat at the end there?
Very nice.
just like Leonard Cohen would have done.
Yeah, in the Jeff Buckley version, though, he holds his breath. Like, he holds that note for like 40 seconds, I think. It's really
impressive. Yeah, he's showing off.
Okay, sorry, you're defending this guy because he wrote the song for you, I guess. Jeff Buckley did a good version, too, is all.
He would be a good shofarist, actually. That was by Greg Jeffrey, and it would be grateful if you plug his Instagram, Greg Jeffree.
Oh, okay. Good way to
spell Jeffrey. That's where he very inconsistently posts music content. So,
all right.
There you have it.
Good stuff.
That was a solid version. Like you said, it was the style of Jeff Buckley, but it's a Leonard Cohen song.
Exactly.
So it's a cover of a cover of a cover.
Exactly. Finally made it perfect because now it's about us.
And it's a shame because Leonard passed, so he'll never hear this version.
As did Buckley. So
Jesus Christ. It's almost like a curse. Whoever sings this song dies. Not an untimely, but ultimate inevitable death.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's everybody. Ultimate inevitable.
Yeah, that's every song.
Yeah. Whoever does the song inevitably dies. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
also
everyone.
Who doesn't do it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'll be dead.
Just because I fucking heard it, I think.
I swear to God, I think time pushes us all towards the inevitable demise. Like, we'll have to attend one another's funeral, probably.
We will.
Right?
Not both of us. No.
One of us.
One of us will have to attend the other's funeral.
Yeah.
God, I hope it's me. Hope it's me attending yours. Hell, I hope it's
really?
Soon. I hope it's soon. Just so I get it out of the way.
Actually, I also hope it's you attending mine, because, like, I don't want to have to deal with getting to a funeral and, yeah, like, the ennui and sadness that ensues.
Totally. Yeah, there's going to be... There will be an expectation for you to speak at my funeral.
Yeah.
You know.
And then
that.
It's like, yeah, and you have to be like one of those, whoa, it was a reverend, but Jake would have wanted it that way. Yeah. I swear, he fucking would have wanted him to joke like
he
that.
He wanted me to roast him the entire time.
Actually, I have a letter from Jake that says he wanted you to take this opportunity to speak reverently, politely, and earnestly, yeah, sincerely, without joke about
it's,
Jake.
This is, it's like the best man speech you gave at my wedding, which was mean to me the entire time, and then you were like, but in the end, Jill really is great.
Hallelujah. This is a special episode after... years, literally 2.5 years of pandemic living, we finally figured out how to do a bi-coastal in-studio record.
That's right. This has been a lot of hard work went into this, not necessarily work of our own, but there's a studio in New York City right now that I'm sitting in.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. Yeah.
5 to 8 talented producers and engineers figured out this feat. And by the way, if it didn't work and you can only hear this and not see this, then they failed.
Yeah.
They failed.
They did fail. And
I don't know. I don't want to like say heads will roll, but I can't see a world where Grimm comes out of this on
alive.
The other side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, yes. It needs to go perfect for him to keep the job. So
yes,
like,
exactly.
He's on the chopping block, as it were. We're basically, sorry, he's, I feel weird because he's in the room, but
yeah, of
we're
course.
Looking for an excuse.
You know we call him Thin Ice, right? Yeah. Like that's sort of his nickname around the office.
That's
Grimm
right.
Knows that, right?
Yeah. Do you know that, Grimm?
I do now.
Thin Ice, are you there?
Thin Ice is here. He's behind the desk with fucking yeah. Rock solid Emma. Just
oh my god,
steady and true.
Keeping him afloat, yeah. She's a buoy. She's yeah. a life raft. She's a preserver.
A boon. A lighthouse in the storm.
But yeah, so I'm in the LA studio. We've recorded here together. That's no problem.
Yeah, easy. No problem for you because I fly across the country and sit there and you just, you know, drive over from yeah. Silver Lake.
I'm 3 miles away, you're 3,000, but we meet in the middle.
Yeah, the middle of Los Angeles.
Right. And now you're in the New York studio, which I haven't visited. I'm in the LA studio, but we can still see, we can interact with each other. I'm looking forward to seeing how this turns out. Like, I have no idea what it'll look like.
No clue.
Should I be looking at the camera? Should I be looking at Jake over there on the TV? These are all little things that we have to iron out. Are you looking at me, Jake, or are you looking at a camera?
I'm looking at you on the screen behind the camera.
Right. I wonder if I should look
at
the
camera. And
Grimm
is giving
camera.
Me the thumbs up, which means he is banking his entire life
wow.
on that call.
Interesting. And then the final video is you completely staring off camera to the left. Why is Jake staring behind
just
himself?
Just my chin. I craned my neck too much.
It's soft, out of focus, blurry of a chair in a different room. But yeah, looking forward to seeing how this turns out. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And how about this for a new beginning? I know this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us, as you see.
Yeah.
But I did a search of our inbox for questions that help us settle this debate.
Okay. Interesting.
So... These are still semi-advice questions, but also like kind of it opens up a new avenue, a new bucket, a new type of
right.
question
it's,
we can answer.
It's an advice meets a debate show. I've been angling for a debate show for a long time, actually.
Right. And it's like, you know, everyone has like, I think I brought this up a few weeks ago. We have this like ongoing debate in your life where it's like,
yeah.
I think one thing and somebody else thinks this other thing. Like, remember my air conditioner thing? I'm like, can you make it colder in here? No, you can't make it colder. Turning the air conditioning on lower will just keep the air conditioning on for longer, but it doesn't make it colder faster.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ongoing debate in my household. Certainly there's ongoing debates in our listeners' lives
right.
because... You know, you talk to enough people, you debate enough things. We're here to help you settle those debates.
Yes. So we're here to answer your advice and settle your debates. Should we assign each of us a position? Like, what if we both agree on the debate?
Oh, it would be funny if we disagreed and the debate raged on. We would need a third co-host to make an ultimate judgment call.
Let's find out.
Maybe we could bring Thin Ice into here as sort of a judge character.
Oh, I love T.I.G.?
Yeah. What's the G?
Grimm. Thin Ice Grimm.
Got it.
And now your microphone is corrected. Is that right, Amir?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for all the hooting and hollering, if you can hear me clearer now, it's because this microphone hasn't been on for the first however long in this podcast.
I don't know what John did to grim up Casey's work out in L.A.
It's crazy how it's infected just being on a Zoom like a computer virus. But the reason you guys can hear me clearer now is because we finally decided to let's turn on the microphone I'm talking into, not just the microphone 3 feet away from me.
Right.
So,
actually, you know, New York's pretty buttoned up over here. This is a tight operation. This is a well-run ship, okay?
Sure.
A well-oiled machine.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Los Angeles kind of falling apart at the seams. But
well, the meta joke is that we were talking about something going wrong audio video wise, and probably throughout that entire process, the audio didn't sound great to people. Which I'll take credit for. We did it on purpose.
Yeah. You have to admit that now that's even funnier. The joke was fine before, but it's good now.
It was a goof, actually.
That was commitment right there.
Yeah, so now it's like, okay, let's roll the microphone I'm talking into. You guys can hear me clearer. Right. Yada, yada.
So the debate then, we can start the debate. First debate.
Okay, right.
Which head game office is better, New York or LA? I'd say New York.
Too early to tell.
I'd say New York.
Let's see how the final product comes out.
Yeah.
All right, this is a help us settle debate question that we got from a lady pilot. I think we have to call her Amelia Earhart. I mean, that's the gold standard.
Right.
Hopefully this lady is alive and well, unlike Amelia. My boyfriend and I are on a spring skiing holiday in the French Alps.
Awesome.
And we were hoping you could help us settle a debate. The mountain we are staying on is over a mile high, and of course we've had sex a bunch. It's vacation, duh. So the question is, are we in the Mile High Club because we've had sex in our room at the top of this mountain, or do you have to be on a plane for it to count? Your help would be greatly appreciated. The argument has been troubling us this entire vacation.
I wonder what position she takes.
Like when they're having sex? I mean, I can ask, but that seems like a pretty private question to
didn't
inquire
mean
about.
That but if it's vacation, then we're definitely going reverse cowgirl.
She's bragging, actually. I don't think they're actually debating this in a hotly contested manner. She's just saying we're in the French Alps.
There's something hot
in the Mile
sure.
High Club.
I would say no. I mean,
yeah,
no.
Mile High Club Nobody, like, if you have sex in Denver, you're not in the Mile High Club. It's not, like, literal like that. It means to have sex on an airplane.
Right. It's not having sex a mile in the air. That's just, like, the nickname that having sex on an airplane got, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You haven't done anything hot. You just had sex on vacation, which is, as you mentioned, kind of the standard.
But it is, I guess, having sex a bunch here in the French Alps is hot, but it's not necessarily danger. The whole point of the Mile High Club is that you can get caught. People are looking at you. It's a very tight space. It's hard to logistically do it.
Yeah. Are you in the Mile High Club? Did you have sex on a plane ever?
No, but we made a video about this once that I'm actually in the Quarter Mile High Club.
Right.
That's when you sort of put the blanket on top of you and you kind of crank it while... stewardess is going up and down.
I thought that was the Half Mile High Club, and the Quarter Mile was you get a chubby and wait in line to use the lavatory or something.
Yeah, so that's the one I'm in. Not the one where I should be arrested for public masturbation.
Right. Well, I think you did that too.
You've never had sex on an airplane, have you?
No, never.
That's pretty interesting, right?
That I've never had sex on an airplane?
Has it ever come up? Has it ever come close?
It's come close. I got a handjob on an airplane once. But
Quarter Mile High Club.
That's the Quarter Mile High Club. It's hard. I feel like now it must have used to be easier. Now there's like eight fucking stewardesses on an airline. Like there's too many flight attendants.
Yeah, and it's weird because you have to keep your mask on. Like how does that even work, you know?
I'm sure you wouldn't have to keep... Well, you don't have to keep your mask on anymore. And that'd be the least of my worries. I prefer the mask on. I mean, there's always like a line four people deep when you come out of the bathroom. So like,
yeah, and you're going to have to come out together. And it's not like a public bathroom. It's like we were both in there talking. We were both in there using different things. Like, no, you come out of there with somebody else It's 100% certainty that you hooked up with that person.
Well, actually, no, the trick is at like when you do it at a bar, you have to come out and pretend like the person is sick. It's like, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was just
like,
holding her back.
Yeah, she's sick, you know?
There's no room for two people in there, like even just a stand. So like I can't quite
You obviously don't sit up in first class very much. Yeah, you obviously don't sit up in first class at all if you don't think there's no room for people to stand. Sorry, I had a lot of granola and an acai bowl earlier. but yeah, I guess like on your non-direct Spirit Air flights to LA,
Frontier through Kansas City,
Kansas City to Pittsburgh, up to Hoboken, then the Greyhound to Port Authority. Yeah, that's kind of your shit. That's how you travel, and that's cool. But yeah, I can imagine you're not having a lot of sex on the Frontier flight.
You said you weren't having sex on it either.
I said I got a hand job.
And it was a Southwest flight.
And it was a white lie.
Because all I did was sort of adjust my nutsack that I was accidentally sitting on top of. Do you know anybody that's ever joined the Mile High Club?
Actually, I don't think I do.
I know one person.
Really? Who?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know them?
It's a high school. You do. It's a high school friend of mine. I don't want to out them on simulcast like
Ofer?
This, but I'll text you.
Rami? Jesse?
All with each other, if you could believe it. Yeah. It wow. was with like a college girlfriend. And I think it was a daytime flight. It wasn't like red eye seems kind of
red eye's
easy
the time.
Because it's like it's completely dark and most people are sleeping.
Yeah.
I think this was a daytime flight. I'll ask this person to confirm
yeah.
or deny.
It does. It seems like the kind of thing you do in like in college. It's a college caper, to be sure.
Yeah. Okay. So final verdict for this. Help us settle the debate. Did we join the Mile High Club?
Yeah, I would say no.
I think definitely not.
Yeah. But it sounds like you got another flight coming up, so you have an opportunity.
All right. Let's take a break. Thank some sponsors. Come back correctly. Recording this episode of our show. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping
dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. No unsolicited advice this week.
Yeah, we've got debates to get to.
We have debates to settle.
That's right.
Here's another sex-related debate question.
The best kind.
Yeah, from, let's call this guy Davis Jan. Davis Jan. Right.
The DJ.
Hey guys, love the show. Help me settle a debate I'm having with a friend whose girlfriend cheated on him.
Okay.
Is it worse for your girlfriend to have sex with another guy? Or if she goes down on him? My friend says sex is more cheating because it's more intimate. But I'd say oral is worse because there's some intentionality and it's done mostly for the pleasure of the other person.
Mm.
Let us know what you think. Love, Davis.
That is a good question.
This is a good one.
I'm curious. I think oral is worse, not because of the first thing he said. I feel like there's intentionality behind both acts, but
yeah,
it's the selflessness of oral that really does it. It's the act of giving.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
And it's funny because sex is like, you know, you grow up and sex is the final frontier. It's like, I've had this, but I haven't had this.
Right. It's the furthest you can go. Yeah.
It's the most bases. Yeah.
Right.
And so you assume that sex is the worst kind of cheating because that's like the most intimate, biggest whatever.
Yeah.
But the way he lays it out, it's like, yeah, if someone I was loving partners with went down on someone, that would affect me more than the sex. Sex can be impersonal. This is like the most personal thing one can do sexually, it seems.
Yeah. I guess, well, yeah, then it depends if you were cheated on by somebody who received oral sex or gave it.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. So the three options were someone you love went down on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Someone you love got went down on. Got went down on.
You get went down on.
I got went down on. I got went down on. Oh, God. The sentence bothers me more than what you did, actually. Got went down on.
I don't like your vocabulary at all or your personality.
I think you shouldn't do that / end your sentence with a preposition. I'm so sorry to tell you this. I got went down on. Excuse me?
I made the biggest mistake of my life, and I got went down on. I didn't mean to hurt you, but I did get went down on. And I wish I could take it back. I wish I could take it back is what I'm saying. I never wish that I had got went down on.
I wish I didn't got went down on. I wish I did get went down off. That's also bad. Getting off is bad, too.
Yeah.
That is your next song. The next Fade on Shuffle is Got Went Down.
No, it's another country song like The Other Side of Hard. You should be making a competing album.
Somebody needs to do a Devil Went Down to Georgia style.
Got Went Down on.
The Devil Went Down to Gown Down 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 Down.
Well, you already did it.
Okay, so it seems like. Oh, yeah. So
it's giving oral, receiving oral, having sex, and let's say 69ing.
Having had
69ing and also auto fellatio.
Interesting.
Which
so
I would
your partner
consider
just sort of goes down on themselves and, while somebody else watches.
Okay. Well, you introduce the other person. That's light cheating. Auto fellatio, yeah. Not cheating. 69ing, actually a little bit better than just giving, I think.
Right, because it's almost sex. It's this
at least
silly
that's,
act
yeah.
that you guys are doing together. There's
nothing silly about it.
Well, it's a little silly. Right. Just the name 69 is like, just by definition, lighthearted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just having a fun little 69. How are you going to get
we
that?
Didn't even have sex. We just 69'd.
I would be so confused. If you have sex and if you 69 and don't have sex, you also do really kind of imagine that oral is just like leading into the sex. Okay, so
I still think the worst is giving oral sex.
Yeah.
That's the hardest to come back from.
Yeah. It's also, I think it's like, it's extra bad because it tends to be something you do like early on in a relationship. I feel like you perform a lot more oral because it's like, it's new and exciting and there's some kind of like added level of intimacy to it. It's, so yeah, something basically that you used to do in a relationship that you don't do anymore, you did for somebody else. That's probably the worst.
Yeah. Like I went to a movie and held hands with him, but that's it. Is that worse than sex?
No.
Of course not. We agree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wouldn't be nice.
It wouldn't be nice. There's also, like, to me, there's like, you think about cheating as just like crossing a line. So, like, oral is maybe going further across the line than sex, but it's both beyond the line. They're both beyond the pale. They're both grounds for dismissal. Holding hands. I don't think I end a relationship over that. Making
what out? If your mom just drives you to the mall and then his mom picks you guys up?
Who are you thinking the cheating is with? If your mom drives you to the mall, are you cheating on someone with your mom, or you're saying the mom brings both of you to the mall?
Like, yeah, it's kind of like a sixth grade relationship. So like nothing sexual happened, just like, yeah. I swear I messed up. His mom dropped us off, yeah. And we went to the mall for like 2 hours, and like he just played arcade with his friends, and I was there, and then my mom picked us up and drove us home.
See, in sixth grade, that is, you know, kind of the worst you can cheat because there's not really anything happening.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, the stuff that we're supposed to do together as boyfriend and girlfriend, like go to the mall and hang out, you did with somebody else.
That's so, yeah, cheating.
That's cheating. Yeah. In sixth grade, that's cheating.
Right. But to do it now. If 35-year-old's dad drives.
Yeah.
Honestly, Jill and another guy mall.
If some guy's dad drove my wife and and his son to the mall, they got dropped off, and then Jill's mom picked both of them up, I would break up with Jill for just being so weird, but not cheating on me.
The guy was 12.
So yeah, then I definitely need to break up with her, right? Because like, why did she that even get his dad to drive them?
Yeah, like how do you even come up with that
and
story?
Who is this 12-year-old? And that's, yeah. Yeah.
What's
honestly,
the
it's gross that rewind. You came up with the scenario. Like, I feel like you're accusing my wife of doing it, but it came from your brain that it would even
there's
be
not
plausible.
Really malls in New York, right? Like, that's sort
the
of
last reason
thing.
it would happen or not, you know? Like, Jill's not like hanging out with a 12-year-old but doesn't have a mall to go to. That's not the issue. Right? Yeah.
Like, are there malls in Brooklyn? Or...
Yes, there are.
Indoor? There are. Outdoor?
Indoor. Yes, there
indoor
are malls.
Malls.
Yeah, there are.
Food court, like whole 9 yards, suburbia.
Yeah, there's
but
Barclays. Brooklyn. Yeah, the Atlantic Center. Yeah, that's a big-ass mall, right? There's a Target. There's a Best Buy. There's a bunch of stores inside. There's a food court.
Really?
Yeah.
Hot dog
really.
On a stick. Yeah, at the whole nine.
Yeah. And my wife is there with a guy, but he's 14, asshole.
He has had his bar mitzvah, so he's an adult in the eyes of the Lord / me.
And he's going to get his learner's permit in 2 years, so he don't need his dad to drive him no more.
He's going to get his learner's permit? Actually, Jill can be the adult.
That's true.
The adult that watches the... Whatever. We shouldn't even be like entertaining this stuff.
Obviously
it's
not.
Not.
Obviously
yes.
Not.
Yes.
What's the debate here? Which one is worse? We agree that it's oral is worse than sex, but both
We've
are bad.
That.
Yeah, both are bad.
But ultimately, I guess what we came out of here with is a song called "Got Went Down On," which this borderline inspired / perspired, but ultimately I was the visionary. Jake will be able to run with it to his little friend that makes the song for me.
My little friend that makes the song for you.
Yeah, I'm sort of like
that's my fucking bandmate you're talking about. You're not the composer. That's actually what I do. Well, actually, I'm the writer. Gareth is the composer. You're nothing.
It's fair to say no band has ever operated like this, though. There's no way. There's a guy that came up with a song, a guy that wrote the lyrics, and then somebody else that does the whole thing.
Yeah. We're pretty unique. We're pretty unique.
Yeah. What's the poster for that look like? There's not like three of us standing side by side next to each other.
Well, it's, like, actually, it looks like this, except art. Gareth should be in the middle.
That's cool. And Gareth, how old is Gareth? Isn't he like 14?
Yeah, Gareth is 9.
Jesus.
But he's
going to
be 14 in no time.
And then he can drive us to the mall.
Yeah.
Okay, more questions, more settling. Actually, let's take a break, come back, and settle some more debates after these messages. Let's do it. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. All right. Another debate to settle. Again, if you have long-lasting debates in your lives, hit us up. ifireyoushow@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right, let's get right to it. A few months ago, my wife and I were driving on an elevated freeway near a lake. I was driving, and my wife pokes me and says, "What the heck is that?" Pointing over the lake. There was a large yellowish-looking blob of something floating dead, still above 150 feet above the lake. It was not drifting in the wind or moving at all. It was not a drone or a balloon or a paraglider or anything else we could easily identify. I was driving about 70, so I only got a good couple seconds look. But here's the rub. I thought this was a crazy and interesting story, so next time we were out with friends, I brought it up, thinking of asking what they thought it could be or if they've ever seen something similar. And my wife immediately clammed up when I started telling the story and totally refused to back me up. So I'm left sitting here explaining the story, sounding like a lunatic. Everybody looks uncomfortable, and the topic of discussion changed quickly. Am I the crazy person here? Is there any way for me to share our experience without sounding like I'm nuts? Or is my wife right, and it would be better to just shut up and forget we ever saw anything? Help me settle this. Wow. I guess this isn't quite a debate. This is more angling towards the just general advice question.
But, yeah. Well, you know, we just decided to test out this pivot. So we haven't actually called for any debates. So this is the first time we're doing it. What did he say? It was floating in a lake, or it was above the lake?
It was above 150 feet ish above the lake, floating.
A brown blob?
Yeah, a yellowish blob.
Describe it for me one more time.
Large, yellowish blob of something floating dead still above, about 150 feet above the lake.
Hmm. Interesting.
Have you ever had a UFO-esque thing happen to you?
No. No. Nothing that couldn't be explained.
Yeah, and then when people do bring stuff like that up to you, like, what else could it be? Whenever somebody says that to me, it's like, I saw this figure, what else could it be? And I'm like, I don't know, it could be anything. Like, no, like, you can't explain it. It has to be this thing.
I think that's the ticket right there, though. It's like, you don't have to know what it was for it to be. It's an unidentified flying object. But UFO doesn't automatically mean alien spaceship. It means I didn't know what it was. So, like, if there is a satisfying answer out there, you're allowed to keep on asking the question, as long as you're not leading people to be like, so I saw an alien. Here's what it looked like. You try to fucking tell me what a yellow blob over a lake was. Because there probably isn't a rational explanation. There usually is.
Yeah, I'm usually too skeptical. I'll be the last person. Like, if you saw an alien and told me about it in detail, I would first not believe you.
Yeah.
Before ever, like, coming to the realization that you saw an alien.
So I also wouldn't believe it. I don't think I would ever see a UFO and be like, I would go to you and be like, I saw an alien. I would go to you and be like, something presented itself to me like an alien, but I know that it's not, so what is it?
Yeah. So like, and I'll be like, what was it? And you'll be like, it's a flying saucer the size of a building hovering 10 feet above my house.
Yeah, I think you're
part of an hour and a green creature came out of it.
And I was probed.
Anally or otherwise.
I think that, like, you're not crazy.
That didn't happen.
Yeah. You're not crazy for seeing something, but it would be crazy if you assumed and told people that it was an alien. But you haven't done that. He's saying, here's what we saw. What do you think it was?
Yeah. I mean, ghost stories are very similar. Don't you have a similar, like, I have a ghost story situation?
When I was little, I thought that I saw a ghost. And I have memories of seeing those ghosts when I was little, but I think it was just like being a kid and my eyes were tired, or like, you know, even now sometimes I'll like, did I tell you about how I woke up and I thought there was a crow in our room?
You woke up in the middle of the night thinking a black bird was in your room.
Yeah, it was so scary. So it was the night. So we got a puppy recently, which I haven't actually talked about on the show, but
holy shit, this is just a whole episode of firsts.
That's right. So we can talk more about him, but I got a puppy.
You bought a zoo.
I bought a zoo. I bought a dingo. We have a very
this
cute puppy.
This is from that the puppy mill, right? Wasn't it like $10,000 and you said it was too expensive?
It was only $14,000. So yeah.
But it was bred for your specific size, weight, and color,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
And the first few puppies were a little too light for you, and you discarded them, right?
We had the tongue removed so it can't bark.
You bought a rug. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, no, it was a rescue. Very cute. Very cute. We really did the right thing. But the first night we had him sleeping in our room in his little crate.
Did you say the name?
Yeah, Dingo.
Okay. So Dingo is in a crate.
Yeah, Dingo's in a crate. You're supposed to keep the puppies in a crate to sleep. Okay. Nobody fucking canceled me for that. they're dead animals. Okay. So anyway, he's sleeping. And every time he, like, you know, makes any noise, we'd take him outside to let you go to the bathroom.
And that's an example of a noise. Is it a bark? Is it a whimper? Is it a groan? A yawn?
Usually like a tiny little whimper, or like really he's like mostly asleep. And then if he starts like rustling around, it means that he like needs to get out, or like he wants to pee.
He's restless.
Yeah. But that's all to say that like we were kind of trying to keep an eye on him all night. This is the first night that we got him. He's also like 14 weeks old, not like, you know, 6 weeks old or anything like that.
Okay.
So anyway, we are sleeping, being very attentive to Dingo. And I guess at some point in the middle of the night, Jill turned her other, she put her head where our feet were. She like flipped around 180 degrees in the bed so she could sleep with her head towards the foot of the bed so she could be closer to Dingo's crate so he could see her and not be like stressed out or anything. Does that all
track? Oh, that's very nice of her. Yeah.
This was all unbeknownst to me. So I woke up thinking that I needed to walk him. And all I saw was what I was 100% sure was a crow sitting on top of my wife's feet at the bottom of the bed. And I was just like, frozen with fear. My first instinct was to run. And then I was like, well, you can't run. The crow is in the room and it'll like something's going to happen to Jill. And then I was like, okay, so I'll gather all these sheets.
So you were having this full plan.
I'm standing there at the base of the bed.
Standing?
Yeah, I'm up. Backed away from the crow. And I'm like, okay, so thinking about, I'll just gather all the sheets and cover the crow. And then I was like, oh, maybe I can sneak around and just open the window and try to shoot out the window. And then Jill starts talking to me. She's like, what's going on? And I'm like, there's a crow in the room.
You still thought it was. You were fully awake.
Yeah, so fully awake, telling Jill there's a crow. And she's like, what? I was like, there's a bird on the bed. And she was like, where? And then I realized that it was the crow talking to me. And it was...
What are you saying right now? This is a dream you were having?
No, this is all... I realized that the voice was coming from where I thought the crow was, which it was Jill's hair tied up in a bun at the base of the bed that I thought was a bird.
Return the puppy. Return the dog at this point.
You're a danger to animals.
It's obviously not safe with you. Yeah. You think hair is a bird.
It was dark. It was dark, and it was her bun was just right on the top of her. It was true. It looked so much like a crow.
And then when you realized it, you're like, "Oh, sorry, never mind." Or did you laugh?
I laughed. I was like, "Oh my god!" I would think it was more of like a chuckle of relief because I didn't have to deal with this. Yeah. I was petrified. You know, what do? Do you try to tackle the bird? Do you try to shoot out the window?
Yeah, you probably don't try to tackle the bird.
That's the debate.
It would have been incredible if, as you realized that was just Jill's hair, if there was a crow in your room. In addition to that.
Attacked from the back.
Oh, thank God.
It also thought she was a crow. Jill's a crow. My dog is a crow.
It is interesting that birds rarely fly into houses. Like, I have my kitchen sliding door open a lot. And I can't remember any time a pigeon just flew in.
Yeah, but then, you know, you go to, like, JFK and they're everywhere.
Yeah, I guess if it's big enough, birds know to avoid, you know, rooms. Although I have had birds fly into my window.
Yeah, so they should have been inside. You should check behind your couch. They might have just flown all the way in behind the wall. No, they're dead.
There's no way.
All right.
Unless. No, there's no way. However.
So this guy, so all that was to say that I thought I saw a ghost when I was a kid. I thought I saw a bird on my wife's feet, but it was just her head. Sometimes
there's always an explanation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people do think they once saw a ghost or a UFO or something or other out there.
Totally. I think next time you are alone with your wife, ask her to repeat the story and, like, you know, hear how she views that encounter. And then maybe let her lead the way if you want to tell more people about it. Because it is an interesting story and it's a fun conversation to have. It's just not fun if you're like using that as definitive proof that aliens exist, which it sounds like you're not, so everything's fine.
Yeah, but I also get the wife's reticence to just like start talking about this stuff because you almost seem like a crazy person.
Right. But so, I mean, just to be like, hey, this crazy thing happened. You know, that's it. It is crazy. It's interesting. There's no
a yellowish blob.
Yeah. There's no real answer. But you don't have the answer either. So that's it's like what you're saying. You can't be like, you can't explain it. Therefore, it's an alien.
Actually, there's a Blink 182 poster behind you. Shout out to Tom DeLonge, who is a alien believer, right? He's like a chaser of
sorts.
That's
correct. I believe song 2 on this album is Aliens Exist. I thought you froze, but you're just staring at me.
I froze in fear Because now I'm starting to realize that maybe there's a case to be made
about it. I mean, because there's something that happened with Tom DeLonge. Like, he got them to declassify a bunch of stuff. Like, there's like that stuff in the news now that's like the military has been tracking UFOs for a long time and like admits that they exist. But
right. Area 51 style.
Yeah. But not necessarily that it's aliens, just that there's stuff that's flying out there that we don't understand.
Right, which is fine.
Which is fine.
I'm sure there's stuff in the sea also that we don't really fully get. Like, what's the deal with octopuses? Like, I never understood that.
Yeah. I mean, I think people do understand those. There are aliens that live here on Earth already. An octopus is an alien. Congrats.
Or jellyfish. Don't they not even have a brain or a heart or something?
Yeah, and they fuck. I was attacked. We talked about this. I was attacked in Italy by a jellyfish, an Italian jellyfish, as it were.
Are you sure it wasn't just Jill's hair?
Really fucking funny. Why don't you yuck it up, scumbag? Let's see what happens when I come to Los Angeles. You laughed at me. I'm going to fly there. I'm going to come to that studio and I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And I'm going to
wait. It'll take you 12 hours. I won't be here.
Yeah. You're going to hide from me, huh? I'm going to tear studio apart.
Why?
I'll destroy that studio like I'm a Rolling Stone. It's 1969. Okay.
There's no need.
Yeah.
There's no need.
And there's
then
no need.
People will ask you why you did it and be like, because Amir sort of gently ribbed me.
Yeah. I can't even remember the joke you told. But
person.
I know that it was in poor taste and it was ill natured. Yes, it was. You said something about my hair?
No, I did not. You're ill natured. All right, that's it. A whole episode of firsts. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Hopefully you guys have more debates, long-lasting debates that you guys want us to settle. Again,
yes.
Email address for theme songs, whether it's Got Went Down On or debates you want us to settle or advice you need. It's all ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
That's right.
And we have more videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
Thank you guys for watching this. I can't wait to find out how this turns out.
It's exciting.
It's really exciting. If you guys are watching this, it was a success. If you guys are just listening to it, that's fine too. It's okay. You can consume media at your own pace / leisure.
But definitely check out the YouTube and subscribe just to see how this all turned out, aside from the first 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, when a different microphone was on, that's going to be interesting as well. Okay, the opening theme song was, Jeff. George? No. George Jefferson?
It was something Jeffrey.
J-E-F-F-R-E-E. Yeah. Greg Jeffrey.
Jeff Buckley.
Let's listen to that one more time. Shout out to Jeff Buckley. Shout out to Greg Jeffrey. Shout out to you guys for listening. And shout out to Thin Ice for nailing the landing.
Way to go, Tig.
We'll see you guys soon. Bye, everybody.
Heard there was a Michael Ward that's gilded and it's Jake's once more. And you don't really care for friendship, do ya? My name's Amir and he's the pinch. His crab claws just won't give an inch. The second place is slippery, I'm Shmuel. I am Shmuel. My grades were strong, but you needed proof. Thursday tests are just a goof. The abuse is never ending from my co-host. He claims his name is Liquid Nice. Has everything with a side of rice. Not even near a Starbucks. I am Shmuel. Shmuel. I am Shmuel. I am Shmuel. I am Shmuel.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.